You're listening to the Douglas Jacoby Podcast. Here we bring you some of the material found on Douglas's website in podcast form. We hope that as you listen, you're challenged to think about faith. Today, Douglas continues his series on the imitation of Christ, now looking at peaceableness, purity, and conscience. Now here's today's teaching.
Welcome back for the 23rd lesson in our series on the imitation of Christ. Today's offering is a combination of three chapters from Book 2. That is the book that encompasses material directives for the interior life. So we'll be talking about our disposition. The specific chapters are on what makes a peaceable person, on a pure mind and simple intentions, and on the joy of a good conscience. Let's begin. The disciple speaks. If we are at peace with ourselves, then we will be able to be peacemakers with others. A peaceable person does more good than a well-educated person. People ruled by their emotions turn even good into evil and easily believe the worst. Good, peaceable people turn all things into good. They are not suspicious of anyone. But people who are discontented and restless are tossed about with much paranoia. They are neither quiet, nor do they tolerate others who are quiet. They often say things they shouldn't and don't know the right things. They're quick to point out rules that should be followed, but they themselves neglect those rules. So we must work eagerly on our own spiritual lives. Only then can we help our neighbors in their spiritual lives. We know well how to excuse and justify our own actions, but we won't accept the excuses of others. It would be better to accuse ourselves and excuse others. If we want others to be patient with us, then we must be patient with others. Let us be aware just how far we are from true love and humility, which doesn't become angry or indignant against anyone but itself. It's no great thing to associate with the good and kind, since that is naturally pleasing to all. Every one of us enjoys peace with people who think well of us. But to be able to live peaceably with difficult, stubborn, and disorderly people, or those who oppose us, requires great grace. To do this is most worthy and commendable. Some people keep peace with themselves, and so keep themselves in peace. Other people don't have peace, nor do they allow others to have peace. They are troublesome to others, but are actually more trouble to themselves. Others control themselves in peace and work to bring others peace. Nevertheless, all our peace in this sad life lies in a humble suffering rather than not feeling adversity. People who know best how to suffer will possess the most peace. Those people are conquerors of themselves and lords of their world, the friends of Christ and the inheritors of heaven. Once again, that was on what makes a peaceable person. The next chapter we are looking at is called On Pure Mind and Simple Intentions. Two wings lift people above earthly things, simplicity and purity. Simplicity should be our motivation, purity our goal. Simplicity reaches toward God. Purity brings us into relationship. No good action will be distasteful to you if you are free from wrong desires. You will find inward freedom if you seek and reach after nothing but the will of God and the good of your neighbor. Your heart is right, and every creature is a mirror of life and a book of holy doctrine. There is no creature too small or evil that it doesn't reveal to us the goodness of God. If you are good and pure within, then you can look upon all things without sorrow or misunderstanding. A pure heart sees the very depths of heaven and hell. As you are inwardly, so you judge outwardly. If there is any joy in the world, surely those with a pure heart possess it. And if there is trouble and anguish, the one with an evil conscience knows it best. As iron cast into the fire loses its rust and is refined, so the people who turn themselves completely to God are freed of laziness and changed into new people. When people become half-hearted spiritually, they fear even the smallest labor, and willingly accept outward comfort. But when people begin to conquer themselves and to walk bravely in the way of God, then they count those things as nothing which in the past were so troubling to them. That was On a Pure Mind and Simple Intentions. And last, the chapter which is called On the Joy of a Good Conscience. The glory of a good person is a testimony of a good conscience. If you have a good conscience, you will have joy forever. A good conscience can bear much trouble and is extremely joyful in the midst of adversities. But an evil conscience is always fearful and anxious. You will rest soundly if your heart doesn't condemn you. Don't rejoice unless you've done good. God has said, "But those who still reject me are like the restless sea, which is never still, but continually churns up mud and dirt. And if they say, 'We are in peace, and no harm will happen to us,' who would dare to hurt us? Don't believe them. For suddenly all the wrath of God will rise against them, and their deeds will be brought to nothing. Even their thoughts will disappear. Loving people don't grieve in trouble, but glory in it. For such rejoicing comes from finding glory in the cross of Christ. Glory that comes from the world lasts only briefly. Sadness always goes hand in hand with the glory of the world. The glory in good people comes from a clear conscience and not in the opinions of others. The joy of the upright is from God and in God. Their joy is in the truth." People who desire true and eternal glory don't care about temporary things. People who seek temporary glory despise eternal glory and reveal in their hearts little love for heavenly things. People who don't care about human praise or criticism have great peace in their hearts. Those people with a pure conscience will be easily contented and filled with peace. They feel no more holy when they are praised or more sinful when they are criticized. We are what we are, and we can be no better than what God judges us to be. If we consider well what we are inwardly, we will not care what people say about us outwardly. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. A humble spirit's character is to always do right and give little thought to itself. A sign of great purity and inward faithfulness is not looking for comfort from any created thing. People looking for outward signs to judge their lives show plainly that they are not wholly committed to God. People who commend themselves are not approved by God. Paul writes, "When people commend themselves, it doesn't count for much. The important thing is for the Lord to commend them." To walk inwardly with God and not be held by outward loves is the state of a spiritual person. And that's, again, On the Joy of a Good Conscience. Well, I had a few takeaways from this. Your mind is probably also reeling with things. He touches on so many subjects. Again, so much scripture is alluded to here or even quoted. Well, one personal challenge is to pray to have better discernment, to see who we really are and to overcome hypocrisy. He just repeatedly harps on this bad habit we have of using different standards to judge others than we use to judge ourselves. But real change starts with ourselves. It reminds me of a book on parenting teenagers I read many years ago, Kevin Huggins. It was called Parenting Adolescents. And if I boiled the book down into a single sentence, which is not really fair to the author, but if I did, he's saying, don't try to change your teenagers. Change yourself. That's what gives us leverage and credibility, and that's how God will really work. So anyway, that's the first personal challenge. Pray to better discern and overcome hypocrisy. Second, pray for wholeheartedness, not half-heartedness. And he talked about that half-heartedness, that laziness. May I reread one of those powerful sentences? As iron cast into the fire loses its rust and is refined, so the people who turn themselves completely to God are freed of laziness, changed into new people. When people become half-hearted spiritually, they fear even the smallest labor and willingly accept outward comfort. Great words. And the last challenge. is about the good conscience. The keys to the good conscience include not only confession and repentance, but also learning to value God's approval over human approval. Now, as always, I'm skipping lots of excellent material. The Imitation of Christ, you know, it's 114 chapters. We're really just sampling from maybe 40 or 50 of them during our time together. So I'm hoping that you'll go back and read the whole work. Tomorrow, we will investigate Book 1, Chapter 19, and that's called On the Exercises of a Right Person. He's not talking about push-ups and sit-ups, a different kind of exercises. On the Exercise of a righteous Person. Until then, bye.
We hope you enjoyed Douglas's series on the Imitation of Christ.
For additional notes and resources, be sure to check out Douglas's website in the show notes. The website has hundreds of articles, podcasts, and videos for you to access for free. You can also become a premium subscriber and gain access to thousands of online resources from Douglas's teaching ministry. Thanks again for listening.